Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
As I was thinking about today's sermon and what I thought I was going to speak on, I realized it was difficult for me to take time to reflect on it. This has been a hectic week. Connie was gone last weekend, and then I was gone last week. She worked every day sewing dresses for the granddaughters, and our bedroom is torn up at home. They refinished the hardwood floors because of a leak. All the furniture is in the den and the dining room and the hallway out of the bedroom. We finally got to bed last night about 2:20 and got up this morning. It was like 5:45. So as I thought, and I thought while she was doing all this work, I was working on a sermon. We had tried to take off 2 or 3 days to relax, and I thought, I've got to listen to my own sermon real carefully Sunday in order to take some time for reflection. But that is what we're going to talk about this morning, taking time to reflect on our life and how it relates to Advent. And our scripture this morning comes from Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 26, and verses 34 through 36. So if you turn in your Bibles and follow along as I read Luke 21, 25 through 26, and 34 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Our text today teaches us to live our lives in such a way that the second advent or the second coming of Jesus would not catch us unprepared should it be today. Should it be this very moment. And in the book of Revelation, John tells us that Jesus shall return from heaven and judge everyone, including the dead. And we should live our lives so as not to be surprised whenever Jesus returns. Well, how do we accomplish this feat in light of the 21st century lifestyles? Our days are filled with all types of responsibilities and obligations. And how can we find time, or for that matter, take time to prepare for Jesus' return? All our responsibilities and all our activities can make such a thought, can make the spiritual side of our lives seem as if it is optional, that it's not mandatory, that we can ignore it, but ignore it, if we do, at our own risk. After all, we all have responsibilities. Many of us work. Many of us run a household. Many of us babysit grandchildren. Then there's the recreational activities we involve. There are the extracurricular activities to which we must transport our children. Then there's watching television, and then there's shopping until we drop. There are just too many responsibilities to concentrate on reading the Bible and attending Bible study and church. After all, we have all these things to do. And too often, we view it just in that manner. We have all these other things to do. We'll worry about the second coming tomorrow. Another year is almost gone. It's hard to realize the months and the days and weeks have passed so quickly. And most of us, even though we talked about Advent last year and that it was a time for Christians to stop and reflect upon Jesus' return and that we needed to do that, even though we talked about all that, most of us still do not have our lives in order according to God's teachings and according to His instructions. A time for slowing down and reflection has never come. We are not ready for Christmas, and we are not ready for the return of Jesus. Now, many will say, well, you know, I used to attend church on a regular basis. I was at church and Sunday school, and I've heard all the Bible stories, and I was very faithful, but I just simply got out of the habit. But as we approach this first Sunday of Advent, which is the 29th of this month, we need to remember it as a special time to set aside to reflect upon the second advent or second coming of Jesus. Just how prepared are we if Jesus came today? If Jesus came this very minute, would His appearance be unexpected and intrusive upon our schedule, or would we welcome it with open arms and a smile upon our face? Let us look now at our scripture closely and see how it applies to our individual lives. Just as today, people in Jesus' time were fearful about the uncertainty of their life. Our text sounds like it came right out of today's headlines. Listen again as I read verses 25 and 26. This is Jesus speaking. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now, this reference to the tossing and roaring of the sea is a common reference in God's Word. It was used in Isaiah a lot, and it meant turmoil, confusion. It meant something to be feared, so it's a symbol of events that will frighten us. So doesn't this sound familiar? Today, world leaders are perplexed at how to deal with terrorists. And our government, whether wisely or unwisely, has chosen to deal with some terrorists by moving them to New York City to stand trial and provide them with the same rights as citizens of this nation have. Leaders cannot agree how to solve the terrorist problem. We do not feel safe in our own neighborhoods or in public places. Look at what happened to our military base Fort Hood in Texas. Our own men and women serving were not safe on the military base. We worry about the safety of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Financial instability and economic insecurity and depression causes us fear and concern. Likewise, there's a great sense of fear lurking in our minds as we live our lives daily. News reports regarding elevated terror alerts do not help any. They do not help us feel calm and peaceful. And not only are there heightened terror alerts, they are overwhelming natural disasters in the form of tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, and other devastating events. And this fear just adds to the stress of our fast-paced 21st century lives. And in view of all of these factors, we can identify, I think, with Jesus' comments that we just read as recorded by Dr. Luke. And as we listen to those comments, we may think, what if such calamities land on our doorsteps? What if it happens here? What if it happens in Mecklenburg County? What if it happens in the Commonwealth of Virginia? What if? And Jesus is saying, so what? What if? You should not even have to worry about that. When these events occur, Jesus said we should stand up and lift our heads high, because our redemption should be drawing nigh. The time when God will set us free is close at hand if we are His children, if we are believers, if we have prepared ourselves for the second coming. We can do so without fear. We can look forward to that day. Jesus gave us an example we all could understand. Earlier in Luke, He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. It's the same way when the kingdom of God is near. We will see signs and we can know, but we have to be prepared. As we're waiting and looking for Jesus to come again, it will unfold in due time, just like the leaves sprout in the summer, just like the first coming. And once the sequence began, it will be brought to completion. God will see that it is completed, and Jesus gives us assurances concerning the events. He will not leave us in fear. He will not leave us in a state of anxiety and perplexity. Jesus will deliver us through these times. And as we approach the holiday season, we need to reflect upon that second coming. And as we approach, you know, we'll inevitably hear the question, are you ready for Christmas? And most of us will shake our heads and say, no, I haven't finished shopping yet. I haven't finished baking enough cookies yet. I haven't finished cleaning the house yet. I haven't finished decorating yet. Well, let me tell you this, friends. Christmas is coming whether you're prepared or not, and Jesus is coming whether we are prepared or not. And we can put it off all we want to. And we can turn a blind eye to God's Word, and we can pretend that it's way off in the future and that we can have plenty of time to get ready for it. But we know not when it comes. And we need to be ready. Jesus said He'd return, and no one to this very day, no biblical scholar, no atheist, no agnostic, No scientist, no one has proven that a promise made in God's word has not been kept that he made. And he promises that Jesus will return, and events leading to his return have been unfolding throughout history since he first ascended into heaven. And as promised, one day he will appear. He's not going to call us ahead. He's not going to text us. He's not going to send us an email and say, I'm coming in February the 8th. You better be ready. He's told us he's coming, and he's told us already to be ready. And God help us if we're not ready. Jesus doesn't want to leave us in fear. He doesn't want us to have anxiety, so he gave us instructions as to what to do. He said, be prepared for my return. Don't allow the sharp edge of our expectation of his return to be dulled by partying, by self-indulgence, by consuming of alcohol, drugs, by doing all the worldly things that Satan would have us do. Don't let that dull our sense of needing to be prepared and expecting Jesus to return. If not, we will be taken by surprise. We don't get a do-over, friends. We don't get to say, whoops, wait a minute, Lord, give me another week. Give me another day. Give me another hour. It's too late then. The second advent will come upon everyone, everywhere at once. We won't get a call from Aunt Sally in San Diego saying, Jesus is here and he's coming your way. Nope. He's coming everywhere to everyone at once. Let's look again at those last two verses we read in our text, verses 34 and 36. Because we need to not go to sleep at the switch. We need to pray constantly that we will have the strength and the wits to be standing before the Son of Man on his second coming. Listen, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down by dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, meaning the second coming, that day will close upon you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all of those who live upon the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. John talked to me this morning about his work in the scouts, John Crawford. And their motto is be prepared. And our motto should be prepared. As Christians, we need to be prepared for the second advent. Now, sometimes we, including myself, tire of being followers of Jesus. Not tire of Jesus, but tire of trying to be obedient to him and to discipline ourselves to hang in there for the long haul. And it's when we have these feelings of tiredness that Satan loves, because then he whispers to us, come on, join the world. Just temporarily and take a rest. You can miss Sunday school the next couple of Sundays. You can miss worship service a couple of Sundays. They're starting a new Bible study, so you don't have to go just yet. He comes up and whispers in our ear, you can go back to Jesus whenever you want to. What a lie. What a lie that is. Yes, you can repent and turn back, but sin, the very essence of sin is that it traps you. It's not easy to step over the line and then step back whenever we want to. We get caught up in that world of sin. The essence of sin is that it's a trap. If it were not, then the devil would have no followers because everyone would step over and then step back, step over and step back. Sin has a way of changing us into people we do not even recognize and changing us from the people we were, and that was the children of God, the sons and daughters of the Almighty. So it's natural for us to ask ourselves, in view of the fact that we do get tired, in view of the fact that it is difficult sometimes to obey God, how can we live in such a manner as to be ready for Jesus' return all the time? Don't we get a break? No, we don't. Although this task may seem impossible, although it may seem overwhelming, let me ask you this. Do you know the answer to the question, how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And in the context of the sermon this morning, that means take time to slow down, to reflect, to know what Jesus told us, to realize that we have to be prepared, and to break it down, pray constantly. Take it one bite at a time, and it's not impossible. We must be sure that we are forgiven of all known sin in our life today. We must rid ourselves of the unforgiving and bitter nature that has festered within us over the past months. We must get rid of that. We must live our lives as if Jesus were coming today. We should review our current priorities. What's first in our life? Television, racing, golf, shopping? Or is Jesus first? We must start over again. Get rid of those things. Remove the non-essentials which keep us from using our time productively for the Lord. Be ready for the second advent. Then move on to tomorrow. Be ready for it today, then move on to tomorrow. If it comes today, fine. If not, we move on to tomorrow and we prepare ourselves tomorrow. We begin our day with prayer. We end our day with prayer. Serve Jesus one step at a time. It's like eating that elephant. If we take it one bite at a time, we can accomplish the task. Watch and pray individually. Watch and pray together. We must be ready. So the question is, what will we do this week if we get a chance to prepare ourselves for Jesus' return? Will we become better at watching for His return and praying that we will be raptured, that we will be judged, approved? How will we live? Will we live ready, or will we live to get ready? Hopefully, we live ready so we don't have to get ready. How will the assurance of Jesus help us rise above the fearfulness of current events? Look at what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:14. He's speaking of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and he says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," talking about the second coming, "since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him." And he continues, "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this," you know Jesus is coming, "since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. We've got to be ready. I don't know how else to say it. We have got to be ready because Jesus is coming. And if you want to live eternally with Him in His heavenly home, you have got to be ready. He's given us over 2,000 years of notice. His prophets, His disciples, His evangelists have all told us in His word that you've got to be ready because He's coming again. So let's slow down today. Let's don't wait till the first Sunday of Advent. Let's don't wait till Christmas Eve. Let's slow down today for reflection and make sure we are prepared. If you have to, make a punch list and check off, yes, I pray every day. Yes, I attend functions at church. Yes, I tithe. Yes, I love my neighbor as myself. But let's get prepared for Jesus' return. And if you are not prepared, and if you've not become a child of God, we invite you to do so. It's so easy. You just need to come forward and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Repent of them. Ask Him to bless you, and He will. And we will pray with you, talk to you about any decision you want to make, about a membership here, or just that you want to give your life to Jesus. But come as we sing an invitation hymn, number 295.